Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. The invasion of the Promised Land started with crossing a flood-swollen river, circumcising all the Hebrew males in enemy territory, and circling around Jericho silently for 7 days. All these tasks involved a degree of faith on the part of the Hebrews to prove their obedience to the Lord. Lucifer found a man who was willing to disobey God, and the entire camp was cursed because of Achan's greed. A little while later, Joshua and the rest of the camp were taken in by the lies of the men from Gibeon when they unknowingly made a peace treaty with a faction of the Canaanites. The Israelites won many battles, but they lost the war because of compromise. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad that you're here today on the last Sunday of June 2021. And we're going to be talking today about the colossal mistake that Joshua made, the leader of the Hebrew people. So before I get into the message, will you in the chapel stand with me as we pray? And you that are home and watching us, will you stand in front of your computer or your laptop or whatever with TV? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now that you will help me to preach and to teach in such a way that people will be able to understand it, they will receive it, they'll be able to live victorious. Open the scriptures for us today. And if there's anyone here today who is not saved, I pray that that person today will say, I want to repent and be born again. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. It's the book of Joshua. And we're going to go into the third chapter. We follow the story here now of entering into the Promised Land. To those of you that are new, that haven't heard me teaching on this before the virtual time run that we've had, been studying now for a number of months, there was a Lucifer rebelled against God before Adam and Eve. There was a space war. Lucifer lost. One third of the angels followed him. There was a trial. He was sentenced to the lake of fire. And he then simply opposed it. He appealed the sentence and said, how can a loving God cast his creature into everlasting torment? And he said, God, you are not righteous. So God was accused of not being righteous. And God then had to vindicate himself. And that's the reason he created Adam and Eve, refurbished the earth, and that's why we as human beings are here, to show God's righteousness. Amen. Now, if you are familiar with court proceedings, you have an accuser, you have a defense attorney, and you got a judge. And then you have a jury, if you live in the United States. Now, the rules in the court system is this, that the accuser has a right to question everything. The defense attorney has a right to question everything. Everything has to be laid out in the open. There cannot be anything hidden. When God set forth at the end of this trial and said, I'm going to prove my righteousness, he simply said this, I'm going to show all the angels that I'm righteous. I'm going to allow Lucifer or Satan to oppose me. I'm going to put limitation on him. As you read in the book of Job, he had limitation on Satan. At the same time, God put limitation on himself, because Satan cannot match God. And so the limitation is this, that Satan has a right to test every human being and to tempt us. That's the weakness in us as human beings. So now he was going to take Joshua and the Hebrews across the Jordan River. Jesus wanted to simply display his power to the people living in the land of promise, the land of Canaan, and to fulfill the legal requirement, he had to involve human beings. We are the weak point. So the River Jordan, in the summertime and in the fall, is just a little trickle. You can step over it. But in the spring, it is a raging river. And Jesus decided, we're going to cross the river when it is the highest and most impossible to go across. No bridge. And he wanted to show the Hebrews his power and supernaturally. So we could read now from Joshua 3, 1 through 6. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass that the 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levite, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits, which is about 3,000 feet. By measure, come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took the ark of the covenant and went before the people. So the ark now and the priest were about 3,000 feet ahead of the people. The weak point there were the priests, the Levites. They had to carry the ark, so they had two staves or poles that had looped on, and they would carry them like this, and they had the ark. So they had to go like this. And then they were told, now you go up to the river and you step out into the water. Now picture a raging river like we have here in California in the mountains coming down in the spring. I mean, it just, and the priests were told, you go right out and you step into that water. So we read now from verse number 7. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests that bear the ark and the covenant, saying, when you come into the brink of the water Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Before the ark, the covenant of the Lord, and all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. And then we read down here now in obedience, we now go to Joshua. Actually, I'm going to go down to verse number 15. And as they bear the ark, were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all its banks all the time of harvest. Picture this now. You got a raging river. Here, six men carrying the ark. And they are told now, go into this raging river. This was a weak link. This is where Satan had a chance to simply tell those priests, that's suicide. Don't do it. That's crazy. Joshua is going to have you killed. You're going to drown. But these men had the faith. And they simply had to step out before the water was stopped. They had to step out. And the moment they stepped into the water, supernaturally, God has his angels plug the river. It stood up and stopped. And they crossed over on dry land. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up on a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Saratan. And those that came down to the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Look at verse 17 now. And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people passed clean over Jordan. That took more faith. Here we had now the Levites. They got to the middle of the river. They saw the water standing up, held back by itself, just like when they crossed the sea from Egypt. And there was nothing holding it up except holy angels. They could not see the angels. They saw the water just standing there, and logically they're going to say, water don't stand like that, water comes down. Or we got a dam, but there was no dam. It probably took, it had 3 million people to cross over. It most likely took all day for the Israelites to cross over. And the priest stood right there in the middle, holding the ark. And when the last person crossed, they walked off and boom, the river came back. They had faith. Satan tried his best to simply stop it. But the men, the Levites, had faith. The Hebrews had also faith to walk through looking at that wall of water standing still. In your life, all of us have experienced victory and defeat. There's not a person on earth that lived a perfect life, but we had all kind of ups and downs. And you got to understand that there is a spirit world. The spirit world is more real than this world. The spirit world has always existed, always will exist. There are evil spirits that are floating around on earth. And what they are doing is they're looking for a place in your life where they can simply enter you, make you do things that you should not do, and destroy your life. Our weak link are our emotions. We get emotional. And when we get emotional, all intelligence is gone. Emotions have no intelligence. And that's why you have simply when people fail, they get emotional, or they get drunk, they take drugs, they do certain things that knock out their capacity to think. And the demons come in and says, hey, let's do this and this and that. And later on, you says, wow, this cost me. This woman got pregnant. I just killed somebody with my car because I was drunk. There are consequences. If we can learn how to navigate and simply guard our emotions, we can win. In Joshua chapter 5, we have the next test. So now we have the Hebrews on the west side of the Jordan River. They were now in enemy territory. And now Jesus said that he wants to have them all circumcised. We pick it up in verse number 2. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, make your sharp knives, circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. That's for the men only. And Joshua made them sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they were come forth from Egypt, them they had not circumcised. And we find here in verse number 8, and it came to pass when they had done circumcised all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. Now, that was, in one way, suicide. Picture this, that you have the U.S. Army in Afghanistan. They're pulling them out right now, but picture Afghanistan. So, they're going to give the troops a vaccination. There are certain vaccinations that make you sick for about 3 or 4 days. So the commander says, okay, everybody line up. Every American soldier line up. We're going to give you the shots. So they all get the shots. They're all sick for 3 days, can't lift a weapon. Here is now the Taliban. Wow. The Americans are laid out. They can't even walk. Let's go and shoot them. This was a step of faith that they had to trust that when they were sick, could not lift a sword, that God's holy angels would protect them. Amen. Have you noticed this, that you and I, we have a hard time with faith? Now, this church never closed during the COVID-19 pandemic, what I call it. We were open every Sunday. Usually in the chapel here, you see that you have about 6 inches between each person. And we didn't, you know, have social distance of 6 feet. We met all year. We didn't have masks on here. And we simply prayed every week that God's holy angels would protect us, sanitize us, and for more than a year, we did what most churches could not do because they closed and had virtual worship. Well, we webcast too, but we had our chapel open. We cannot have people come in from different states. They're too far to drive in. But we never closed. Now, as a pastor, there was a risk. What would I tell the authorities if the entire congregation in the church came down with COVID-19 And they were being in hospitals, intensive care units, and would ask them, where did you get it? We went to church. You did? You're supposed to be in church. Who's your pastor? Well, he's on this ventilator over here. You know, I took a risk. And you know what the demons whispered to me? You stupid. It's not going to work. We had to face it every week. And we did it without blinking an eye. Because I have, Soterios says, my elders have, Thomas says, Pastor Charles Alexi, we have experienced God. And we simply said, we're going to walk with God. So you're going to have to make up your mind if you have faith or not. Turn to verse number 13 right now to down to 15. Same chapter 5 here. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord, I am not come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what says my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose your shoe from off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so, the same as Moses had to take his shoes off when Jesus came. And Joshua had to take his shoes off. Joshua had time with Jesus. He worshipped him. But you got to understand now, we have an adversary that you and I cannot match in the flesh. Satan, the fallen angels, and the evil spirits, they have been around since Adam and Eve were created. They have worked for 6,000 years with the human race, trying to destroy us. They can't read our thoughts. This is another fallacy that you hear in churches, and they said, oh, the devil cannot read your thoughts. That's hogwash. He can. Demons can read your thoughts. Ask yourself this question. When you're tempted and you get a temptation of thought come in, you process that. Then comes another thought in. Depending upon how you reacted, and you have a discussion in your head back and forth where a demon is discussing with you what you should do or not. Should I take that drink or should I not take that drink? Should I go over? Should I not go over there? And so on. Unless he could read your mind, he could not have a conversation with you. If you pick up your phone and the other person cannot hear you, and you can just have a monologue, you're not going to be able to communicate. And so we got to understand our thoughts are read by demons. The battle begins in here. The sin never starts with your hands. It starts in your head. If you're defeated here, then your hands will do what they should not do. Don't blame your hands, blame your brain. Let's turn now to Joshua chapter 6. And now they were told to march around the city. And so, let me just read from our text here. Obedience and worship are what God demands. Jesus told Joshua that Jericho was going to be destroyed, but in order to fulfill the legal issue with Lucifer, taking the city could not solely be a heavenly operation. They had to be men involved that were tempted by Lucifer to derail the battle plan. Think about this for a moment. There was no need for Jesus to have the Israelites walk around Jericho for 7 days. None whatsoever. This was merely an act of obedience and a chance for Lucifer to tempt the people to disobey the specific directive of the Son of God. And we read now from chapter 6 here. Now Jericho was strictly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given your hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You should come past the city, all your men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall you do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark of the trumpets of rams, horns, and on the 7th day shall you come past the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when I make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of a trumpet, and the people shall shout with a great shout, and the water of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. This is a built-in weakness. 3 million people. And they were told now, this is a fortified city. Here's what you do. For 6 days, you walk around the city once. You don't speak a word. On the 7th day, you walk around 7 times. And after the 7 times, the priest will blow the trumpet. And then you have a shout. And at that time, Jesus said, I will take care of it. Have you ever had God speak to you saying, I want you to do a certain thing? And you says, nah, I don't think I want to do that. You know, why should I do that? That doesn't make sense. God wanted obedience. Jesus could not take down the walls unless the people obeyed his directives. That's the weak link. Don't you think that the demons were there that week? And they were telling the people, you know, must kiss stupidity for Joshua. You know, why should we march around? You know, just walk like idiots. They're watching us from the wall. What's going on, man? Let's get with it. Let's just attack the city. Let's do it to the flesh. They would have been defeated. So when God speaks to you, you simply do what he tells you to do. Let me give you a simple thing that probably would make some of you a little bit on the upset side. God has a menu of food that he wants us to eat, and there's a menu, and he says, don't eat of this menu. That's bad. And so there's certain things that you are not supposed to eat. And you look upon that, and you says, well, in the book of Acts chapter 10, you know, Peter saw the sheep come down from heaven, but all the stuff in there, and God told him to eat, you know, oh, the pig is sanctified. So we can do that. Or the lobster, the shrimp, or whatever it is. So you chomp away on it, and then you look upon the cancer rate in this country. You go to any church, and you'll find that people over 50 years old, they either got high blood pressure, they got diabetes, they started having cancer, they got this problem, that problem, you know. And the pastor said, well, that comes from the territory, so just go to the hospital and buy the stuff they have there. So it's a simple thing. Catch us now. God wants to heal you. God wants you to be well. But God had a stipulation. Here's a food law you find in Leviticus chapter 11. He said, you follow that, I'll heal you. I'll keep you well. He told the Israelites, you walk 6 days around, 7th day you do 7 times, I'll take care of the walls. They had to obey. And it happened. Now, You simply saying this, who cares, Old Testament, I've never got what to do anyway, so. And the demon said, yes, just ignore it. You ignore it, and we have the legal right to hit you left and right and take you down. And then we said, God, why am I sick? And God says, well, you earned it. You ate what you shouldn't have eaten. You did this or that. I told you what to do, and you just didn't do it. And we says, God, I need help. And God simply says, but where were you yesterday when I tried to talk to you? Oh, well, Lord, you know how it is. You know, everybody does the same thing. Excuses. So we have the fall of Jericho now. And if you look at verse number 20, it says, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpet. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. The people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Archaeology has showed this, that the walls of Jericho were very thick. You could actually have driven a car on top of it. There was a road there, like you have the big wall in China. And those walls went down. They were pushed down. So we had a miracle. So now we had Lucifer simply say, I don't like this. This is not going the way I want it. So he simply said to his demons, find someone that we can tempt. And they scurried in the camp. And they found one guy by the name of Achan. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 here. But the children of Israel committed trespass and the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took an accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon, on the east side of Bethel, and spake of them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, or Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So they went up hither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote to them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now, when you have sin in the camp, sin in yourself, things are not going to go well. You're going to have all kind of problems. And so, Joshua now, verse number 6, he rent his clothes, fell to the earth, but his faith before the ark of the Lord at the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore have you brought this people of Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And the Lord said in verse number 10 unto Joshua, get you up. Why are you lying down upon your face? Israel have sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I command them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, have also stolen, dissembled also, and they put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. but turned our backs before the enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Jesus said, well, he didn't say, okay, I'm very sorry to hear that. He said, you got a problem. Somebody sinned in the camp. Amen. 36 men died because of one man sinned. And if you read the rest of the chapter, Jesus told them to have the tribes come, cast lot, and they weighted it down, and they came unto Achan. And then Achan, his family, children, their livestock, their belongings were taken outside, and they burned them, they killed them, and destroyed them. That was harsh. But God had to put the fear of God into the Hebrews and saying, this project we're doing now, you're in a foreign land, you've got enemies around you, I have rules to follow, and in order to be victorious, I have to cleanse this, and we have to get rid of this. If you look upon this nation, I'm not just going to mention this but in a byway, we have homosexuals that are rampant. We got drugs. We got witchcraft. We got all kind of sins. I mean, the American people are deep into sin all around us. And the question is, if God did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah, God did not spare Israel, why should God spare America? Germany was punished severely twice, World War I and World War II. Why? The Protestant Revolution or Reformation started in Germany. Germany was the engine that broke the power of the Roman Catholic Church. Martin Luther and the Lutheran Church simply was a shining light in the world. It shone into France, into England, and we had their awakening. But Germany, Satan got in. 200 years after, we had what they called a higher criticism. And you had the clergy, you had the Illuminati, you got all these different forces. And Germany became pitch dark and became an offense to God. And I believe that is a reason why they were destroyed twice, World War I and World War II. Did they learn a lesson? They're just as secular today as they were at that time. Did anyone learn a lesson? No. People do not learn lessons. And so God simply says, I wash my hands at nothing I can do. Let me take another to Joshua chapter 9. This Joshua chapter 9. And this is another deception. So the devil simply says, okay, they got Achan killed. I got to go another way. Lucifer knew the laws that the God had established. He decided to mix heathens among the Israelites, since he could not stop Jesus from settling the Hebrews in the promised land. These people pollute the Israelites with idolatry and cause them to embrace pagan worship. Lucifer found a people called the Hivites, skillfully used evil spirit to guide them into disguising themselves as a people from a land far away who sought a peace treaty with the Hebrews. It should be noted that the Hebrews were the descendants of Ham, the son of Noah. Let's read from Joshua chapter 9. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on the side of Jordan, the hills and the valleys and all the coasts of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitant of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly, and went and made as they had been ambassadors, took old sacks upon their asses, wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make you a league with us." And the men of Israel sent to the Hivite, "Peradventure you dwell among us. How should we make a league with you?" And they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you, and from whence come you?" And they said to him, "From a very far country your servants are come, because of the name of the Lord your God, for you have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt." These were all lies. These people now were standing there like they traveled a long time. They looked like beggars. And they were lying through their teeth. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites beyond Jordan. Verse 11. "Wherefore our elders and all inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals or provision with you for the journey, go meet them, and said to them, We are your servants, therefore you now make you a league with us. This our bread we took hot for provision out of the houses on the day we came forth to go to you, but now behold, it's dry and it's moldy." Verse 11, "And the men took out of victory, to ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." Here's a mistake Joshua did. He had several victories. And instead of saying, "Lord, are these people here lying or are they truthful?" He didn't ask the Lord. Most of us that would make mistake, we make a mistake because we don't ask God what to do. We let our emotions run. And then we get in trouble. Let me again read verse number 14. "And the men took of their victuals and asked no counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, made a league with them, to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them." Now, Satan said this, "I want to put in some heathens." Now, Jesus had told Moses and Joshua, "I don't want the Canaanites in the country. They have sinned. They sacrificed their children. They have whoredom. They have the witchcraft. They will not repent. I want to clean the land out. I want you to have the land. I want you to worship me." But for some reason, Joshua didn't see that. And he made a colossal mistake. And we read now in verse number 16. "And it came to pass at the end of the 3 days, after they made a league with them, that they heard they were neighbors, that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came to the cities on the third day. Now the cities were Gibeon, Sipharai, Beeroth, and Kiriath Yearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the prince of the congregation has sworn to him by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we are sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. So they let them live. I've been a minister for 55 some plus years. And it's the same story, generation after generation. The devil only has a few plans. It's sex, alcohol, drugs, and rock and roll. That's what we used to have. Now they got other things. It's about the same thing. So you have young people. How do they get in trouble? Well, now, you know, you got the pornography, you got all kind of different things and so on. And so, young people, 14, 15, 16 years old, don't think. They start having sex outside of marriage, start popping drugs, start using alcohol, get into a lifestyle that is not where they should be. And what happens is, they get children, they try to marry, there's divorce, remarry somebody else, more children. So now we have his children, her children, our children, and somebody else's children. And that's basically the problem we have in the United States. It was said in the pandemic that the divorce rate was skyrocketing because suddenly people were locked up at home. And after 6 months being together, they simply said, we can't stand each other. And they divorced. Because our marriage was not founded on the rock, Jesus Christ. It was founded on lust. Lust does not last. After lust comes hate and anger and resentment. And in this case, with the Israelites, they eventually lost their land. Let me make a point here now. I'm going to give you some dates. This took place about 1,000 years later. The 10 northern tribes lost their land, were taken out, never to come back as a nation. 200 years later, Judah and Benjamin lost the land. They were taken to Babylon. And they lost the land. They never got it back. Joshua's mistake would smolder for about 1,000 years. And then God said, I pulled the plug. I had enough. Get out of the land. So when parents sin, it will affect the children. And the grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren, four generations. Unless you get saved, you repent, or you come back to God and simply rededicate your life. And says, God, forgive me for what I've done. Let me read a summary here right now. Joshua and the Hebrew nation won individual battles against Jericho and Ai. But they lost the war that will continue the second coming of Christ. Lucifer successfully planted idol worship among the 12 tribes like sleeper agents. Some 600 years later, Israel was split into two kingdoms. And a few hundred years later, they lost the land, but they were taken into captivity. We had a man here from New York 2 weeks ago, gave his testimony, went through deliverance. And when we took him through deliverance, I told him this, you got to give up your video games. And he said, video games? I was bored with that. I said, look, how can you say you're a Christian? You play this game where they kill, maim, rape, sex, theft, every sin under the world, and you're playing, and you interject yourself into those games. I said in Romans chapter 1, it says, you know, there's a curse that even encouraged that. But he said, but John, I've done that since I was a kid. It doesn't make it right. It's like you have a rapist, and he comes to Christ, and he said, you know, I'm really addicted to rape. I got to do at least 10 a week. And you tell him, no, as a Christian, you can't rape. He says, well, I can't quit cold turkey. He said, here's what I do. I cut it down next time to 9 a week. And then I go down, you know, to get serious. I take 10 weeks, but I got to gradually get off. Well, that's not acceptable. But that's what we do. What kind of compromise, far-reaching or not, have you allowed in your life? Have you authorized failure by not seeking the Lord in all things? The good news is that the outcome can change if you repent and seek God's forgiveness. My closing scripture is in 1 John chapter 1. That's 1 John chapter 1. And it says this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is a good God, but he demands repentance. And if we don't repent, if we don't start walking with him, he cannot bless us. He will not bless us. You are on your own. And you know, being on your own is painful. Painful. So God is pleading and simply saying this. Please, come to me. Acknowledge your sin. Repent. Change. I forgive you. I start working with you. You might not be able to get into God's choice plan, but you can get into plan B and C. He can do something different with you. The reason people commit suicide is they get to a place of dead end. They don't want to repent. And the demons tell them, it's too much pain, too much pain. Just pick that gun up, go and get those pills, just do it. Get rid of the pain. They lie to you. And when people commit suicide, if they're not saved, they suddenly realize the body dropped to the ground. Here are angels standing, shackling them, taking them to hell. And now, you left the frying pan and went into the fire. There's only one way out. His name is Jesus. You got to repent. You got to come to the place where you simply says, I need help. And God will be there. If you were watching me today, and you simply say this, you know that I'm not saved. I want to get saved. Here's how you get saved. You just ask God to forgive you of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess that he died on the cross for you, rose on the third day, pray for your sins. And then say, Father God, forgive me. Jesus, come on in. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And he will. If you do that, when we finish here, the last prayer, the screen will change on your television set or your computer. You will see three crosses coming up, and you will hear Pastor Charles come and say, my friend, and he will lead in a prayer. Now, if you are in the congregation here at the chapel today, and you are not saved, this is the day that you can be saved. So here's what I want you to do. 2-3 weeks ago, we had a person in here that was not saved. And we talked to them afterwards, and that person gave his or her life to Christ and was saved. So that is an opportunity you have today. After the song service that we've had here, before the baptism, and you says, I want to be saved today. I need to be. You simply come to me, we will pray with you, talk with you, and you can settle it today. If you're backslidden, this is a good time also to repent. And to those of you that are walking with Christ, different places here in the world, pray for those that are not walking with Christ. And think what I share with you today. Never compromise. Compromise means defeat. And with that, we're going to ask Brother Thomas to come and close in prayer.
Father God, thank you for the word here today, Lord. Thank you for each person that came out today, and we ask your blessing upon them. And Lord, we see through the word of God that you developed nations. And you brought up nations and you tore nations down. And we live in this nation called the United States of America, which has become an evil nation. And we're also watching the construct of man driven by the devil to create a new world order. And we come against that in the name of Jesus. That is not your plan. We know it's going to come to pass according to the word, but it's still not your plan. So we come against those evil orchestrators of the new world order, Lord. And we want to speak out against them. We thank you, Father God, that according to the Bible, that we are Israel, that are born again believers, and that is the redeemed, Lord. That is the construct that you put together for mankind. We thank you that we have eternity in Jesus, that we have a great hope for the future. And we are blessed. And also, we thank you for those that gave a testimony today about being baptized. It was not something off the cuff. They knew exactly what they were talking about. They understand baptism. And this is a good thing. We don't want to do things that we don't understand. So we thank you for that. We thank you that we have these folks that are telling the world and telling the whole civilization that they're a follower of Jesus. And we thank you for taking them through. Take each one of us through all the way to the end, Lord, never compromising. Thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain.
The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 26th part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, A Colossal Mistake. The first task in the invasion of the Promised Land was getting the entire camp across the Jordan River when the water levels were at their highest after the spring rains. It required faith on the part of the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to step into the water before they saw the power of God. The second task was circumcising all the men to test the faith of the Israelites in enemy territory. The third assignment involved circling Jericho silently for 7 days before God flattened the legendary walls. All these tasks required faith and proved their obedience to the Lord. The first blunder occurred when Achan took plunder from Jericho, and the entire camp was cursed because of his greed. A little while later, Joshua and the rest of the camp were taken in by the deception of the men from Gibeon when they made a peace treaty with a faction of the Canaanites. The Israelites won battles against Jericho and Ai, but they lost the war because of Lucifer's clever pitfalls. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1814. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.